Where the Tide Took Us This Week. I want to end my week with a few notes about our homeschooling high points. Olav Hauge was a big hit, and apart from a side trip to Elizabeth Bishop's One Art, we roamed through my Hauge books every day. This is the dream provoked intense discussion. This is the dream we carry through the world, that something fantastic will happen, that it has to happen, that time will open by itself, that doors shall open by themselves, that the heart will find itself open, that mountain springs will jump up, that the dream will open by itself, that we, one early morning, will slip into a harbor that we have never known. My copy of The Dream We Carry, named after a line from This Is the Dream, has the original Norwegian on the verso and the English translation on the recto. Rilla, curled up beside me this morning, enjoyed comparing the two versions. She was struck by the lovely image of the mountain springs jumping up and reached for Google Translate's snapshot feature to compare the literal and much less poetic translation. That led to a line-by-line unpacking of the language. The Hauge collection Luminous Spaces has an entirely different translation, and we got really caught up in discussing the figurative and connotative differences between these variants. In The Dream We Carry, the Robert Bly translation has these lines, that we, one early morning, will slip into a harbor that we have never known. And in Luminous Spaces, translated by Olav Grinde, it's, and that one morning we'll glide into a cove we didn't know. And then Google Translate's rendering of the original, which interestingly is in first person singular, when both of those English translations use we, that I, one early morning, will glide in on a wave I have never known. Slip into a harbor, glide into a cove, glide in on a wave, such distinct and potent images, each in their own way. There are buckets more I could say about our Hauge conversations, but the only one I'll mention now is the Philly Junk connection. We're reading tales from Moomin Valley, and today we finished the scene in which the anxious, constantly catastrophizing Philly Junk tries to share her worries with her neighbor, Gafsi, over tea in her gloomy seaside house. This calm is unnatural. It means something terrible is going to happen. Dear Gafsi, believe me, we are so very small and insignificant, and so are our tea cakes and carpets and all those things, you know. And still, they're so important, but always they're threatened by mercilessness, by something one can't ask anything of, or argue with, or understand, and that never tells one anything. Something that one can see drawing near through a black window pane, far away on the road, far away to sea, growing and growing, but not really showing itself until too late. Mrs. Gafsi, have you felt it? Tell me that you know what I'm talking about, please. Well, Gafsi, a practical and restrained creature, doesn't get it. She's uncomfortable with the Philly Junk's demonstration of emotion, and she doesn't have much use for a dramatic recitation of all the terrible things that could happen, because none of them have. The poor Philly Junk. Hauge's dream is utterly closed to her, so far at least. So today this chapter sent me leaping, like a mountain spring, to read Hauge's poem, We Don't Sail the Same Sea. We don't sail the same sea, though it looks the same. Rough timber and iron on deck, sand and cement in the hold. I ride low, plunge headlong through breakers, wail in fog. You sail in a paper boat. Your dream fills its blue sail. So soft is the wind, so gentle the wave. Hauge struggled with depression and had to endure some very dark periods. Some of his poems acknowledge a sense of bleakness or of brooding menace, Lilyjonk feelings. I think the two of them do sail the same sea, but Hauge has the promise of that dream, the promise that someday the doors will open to a world where mountain springs jump up and the wind fills a blue sail. I have hopes that the Lilyjonk, too, will encounter that dream, perhaps through an encounter with the Mumintroll family or with Snufkin later in the book. I don't know. Right now, she's wailing in fog, with a kind of raw courage, the kind it takes to plunge headlong through the breakers. Well, at the end of lessons today, I said we'd be moving on from Hauge next week, and such a clamor arose. Scott and the children think not. It seems I've been remiss in hoarding Hauge to myself all these years. I'm so happy they find him as compelling as I do. This post appears on Here in the Bonnie Glen, the blog of me, Melissa Wiley, at melissawiley.com/blog. It was published on January 20th, 2023.